Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Episode 5, Snapshots from On the Road.
If you've ever been shot at in Sicily, dined a derp by the water's edge on the sun-drenched Isle of Capri, done business on the strangest of Italian towns, been banged up in Rome's infamous jail, wept at a much-loved matriarch's funeral, and been marched out of St. Peter's by the Swiss Guard. If you've ever savored the brilliance and diversity of Italian cuisine, been overwhelmed by their art and architecture, sold 10,000 rugby shirts to Italian fashion houses, and finally, grammatically escaped from using the infinitive and arrived at the conditional, then there is most certainly an intriguing tale to be told. You're listening to Italia 77.
At this point in time, the movie Jaws opens in theatres and is widely considered to be one of the first blockbuster films of modern cinema. Sony introduces the Betamax videotape system, ushering in the consumer home video market. Bill Gates and Paul Allen create Microsoft.
Away Games gave us new and fascinating insights into the world we found ourselves in. Over to you, JRH.
The multi-state history of the peninsula has no doubt created clear regional differences, probably much more so than in any other European country. These differences manifest themselves not only geographically and culturally, but also linguistically and in the kitchen. There is the profound difference between the two separate zones, the north and the south. There is no doubt that Italians, observed from a distance, share a family resemblance. They virtually all come from the same stock, have predominantly dark hair, dark eyes, and vivacious personalities. They all love life, and they certainly enjoy a good show. But in closer analysis, there are stark differences between the north and the south, and they were apparent even on the rugby field. The Milanese and those from Alt'Italia, that is High Italy, would by demeanour resemble their foreign Alpine neighbours more than their Roman, Neapolitan or Sicilian compatriots. They were calmer on the pitch and less volatile than their more hot-headed and flamboyant counterparts from the Mezzogiorno. Italians talk constantly about food. They know which trees produce the appropriate wood for grilling specific foods. They will argue about whether a certain ingredient is missing in a dish. Recipes for the same dish will vary in different villages, even if they are only a few kilometres apart. From a natural region point of view, Sicily is a kaleidoscope. It has volcanic mountains, cliffs which drop to the sea, sandy beaches, beautiful ports, hilltop villages and a fertile central plain. What's not to like? Well, Sicily is a palimpsest, like a scroll, a book or a painting that has had layers of superimposition. An island covered with ancient historical monuments, Sicily has had a multitude of cultural conquests. First the Greeks, then the Romans, the Byzantines, the Arabs, the Normans, the Spanish, and finally the Bourbon kings of France. All of this has led to a natural character that is individualistic, brazen, and fiercely independent. But then, we are also aware of the dark side of this island. Into this palimpsest we arrive by air. Rugby Roma, Olympic Algida, all in our handmade blazers. We're playing Catania the next day on the hard, dark brown slopes of Mount Etna. Just wish somebody had told us to bring rubber-studded boots. That Saturday night, we stroll into the main piazza. We decide to go to a film in a cinema near the hotel. The lads are chattering, talking out loud, and carrying on just like any Roman would do in Rome. Then it happened. Two sinister figures in the row in front of us stood up, flicked open knives, and with a horizontal gesture in front of the throat, clearly suggested that there was little future in our Roman posturing. I've never known the guys be so quiet for an hour and a half. The match takes place at 11:30 a.m. as the African sun will be too hot at any later time for the game to proceed. Reviewing the situation, this is basically a match of the haves and the have-nots. This is about the rich, highly sponsored Roman boulevardier with seven current rugby internationals against the local chip-on-the-shoulder Sicilians who want to take us down a peg or two. There is a moat and railings surrounding the pitch to protect the players from any unruly behaviour from the spectators. The crowd is aggressive, with a sprinkling of elderly men in suits, shirts buttoned to the top with no ties, looking distinctly as though they had just returned from Sunday morning mass. Predictably, the match turns into a series of skirmishes, ending up with one of the home team players being sent off. This, as you can imagine, does not go down well with the increasingly agitated crowd. Later, we spot that they still have 15 players on the pitch, evidently having slipped a substitute on unnoticed. Play is stopped and the interloper is ordered off the pitch, and mayhem ensues in the crowd as they think another home team player has been unfairly dismissed. Just when you think the atmosphere couldn't get any hotter, Antonio Tassin, our flanker, cynically drops his knees into the kidneys of a prostrate Catania player, out of sight of the referee, but in full view of the frenzied spectators. He is their best player and the local hero, and he's now being carried off on a stretcher. Like Mount Etna itself, all hell erupts. We're just beginning to get a feeling of what it must have been like to be a Christian centre stage at the Colosseum. The game is over, culminating in a rather unsatisfactory draw. As we leave the field, there is one small area of the stadium where the moat ends and the changing room begins. And without any carabinieri on duty, it is accessible to the general public. Taking advantage of that fact, an elderly lady dressed in black runs at Antonio with a walking cane. It turns out that she is the local star's grandmother. Showing skillful reactions, Antonio grabs her cane and breaks it over his knee. For a fleeting second, time seems to stop as we Romans appraise the enormity of his action. Time restarts, and then one of those who has just been to mass that morning, the grandfather, rushes to preserve his family's honour. He homes in on Antonio with fists flailing. In a natural act of defence, Antonio protects his face and in so doing accidentally catches the man's chin with his elbow. Making things more dramatic, the old man's dentures come flying out of his mouth, landing metres away. Time stands still again. It restarts and we all run like Keystone Cops to the safety of the changing room and lock the door. After we are showered and changed and are just about to get on to our coach to take us back to the airport, Ian remembers that we have something planned for the evening.
JRH, do you know we're all going to have dinner at Rocco's bar when we get back? His mother is going to make roast lamb for the main course, but listen to this, we get a choice of matriciana or carbonara for a starter. What are you going to have? At which point, as Franco opens the changing room door, a hail of bullets shatter the top of the door and the wall above it. The door is simply slammed shut and everybody hits the deck, with our kit bags providing scant protection. Nobody says a word, with fear permeating the room. After what seems to be an eternity, we hear police sirens coming to our rescue. Everyone is still silent, and Dick, lying on the floor next to me with his glasses askew, says with considerable gravity, "I think I'll have the carbonara."
Anyway, with a police escort to the car park and from the safety of the bus, the boys give the baying crowd some suggestive Roman gestures. However, the police recklessly disappear, and we are hit by a barrage of bricks and stones, smashing some of the windows. So here we are, on the deck for a second time. As the bus crawls to the safety of the main road, our teammates do not miss the opportunity to rush to the rear window of the bus and let these Sicilians have it with an array of outrageously vulgar salutes. With the tension fading, the boys relax and laugh about the recent developments. Their temporary sense of well-being is shattered when we see a trail of cars following our coach and materialising through the sunroofs are locals brandishing baseball bats. The players move faster in the airport car park than they did on the pitch, vaulting over barriers with kit bags and into the safety of the departure lounge. Welcome to Catania. Have a nice day. By the way, Ian had the amatriciana. We've talked about the mezzogiorno, the meridionale, and how from a bird's eye view, Italy can be delineated into the north and the south. Backed up, of course, by the famous phrase, nel nord si lavorano e nel sud si spendono. The inference being that the work is done in the north, only for the lazy people in the south to fritter it away. Well, from a micro viewpoint, there are also the same distinctions between the cities and their nearby towns. Towns where they view the status-seeking, more fortunate inhabitants of the cities with a certain amount of undisguised envy. Then there are the metropolitans, who assume superiority over their local neighbours. Nowhere is this condition more acute than between Rome and Frascati. Frascati is located 20 kilometres southeast of Rome, in the Alban Hills. It is one of several attractive historic hill towns in an area known collectively as the Castelli Romani. Whilst it is a historical and artistic centre, it is now also closely associated with science, being the location of several international scientific laboratories. Frascati and the surrounding area are famous for porchetta, the delectable roast pork and herb combination, which no matter how hard they try, our English specialist providers just can't get right. Often, groups of Romans will drive into the hills just for the evening, dining at one of the many informal restaurants which serve this and other choice regional specialities, along with the local white wine of the same name. The wine is produced from ancient Roman vines, and some people rather unkindly say it doesn't travel the short distance to Rome, let alone abroad. The Pope's summer palace is also nearby at Castel Gandolfo, but there will be little Christian goodwill shown today to the visiting team from Rugby Roma. A short train ride is all that it takes, so no coach necessary, and it is then only a brief walk up the steps from Frascati train station to the municipal stadium. It's a tricky game for winning by only a couple of points, and as fate would have it, Ian manages to score a try in the last minute to secure the victory. This displeases the local fans, whose team has now failed to bring these Roman city slickers down a peg or two. As such, Ian is abused from the terraces by the angry crowd, who, in an Italian sort of way, seem to be doubting his parentage. Having had ample abuse, and in what can only be described as a schoolboy error, he flips them the bird. Affronted and antagonised by his gesture, the malevolence now reaches new heights, with one or two angry spectators trying to scale the high wire fencing surrounding the pitch. Thankfully, this is beyond them. Here we go again, but this time surely the crowd will disperse. Importantly, it's 2 points in the bag, and everyone is relaxed in the changing room until the inevitable squabble erupts with 20 hairdryers fighting for the solitary electric socket. All was not well outside, though. Umbertone, managing affairs for the day, apprises us of the fact that the irate crowd won't go away and is waiting for us just outside the changing room. Indeed, his exploratory opening of the dressing room door is met by an immediate volley of bricks and assorted missiles. He shuts the door with welcome alacrity. "Geez, J.R.H.," sighs Ian. "We need bloody danger money to play for this club." To which I could only reply, "At least it's a damn sight better than bullets." However, Umbertone has a plan. There is a gate at the far end of the pitch that provides a shortcut directly down to the steps for the train station. The baying crowd are mostly locked into the car park on the side of the pitch, all of which would involve them in a long and circuitous route to our planned exit. Our intrepid manager has also had the groundsman confirm that the gate is actually open. He looks at the pair of us with questioning eyes. I turn to Ian and say, "Well, what do you think?" He nods and says, "Yeah, let's go for it." Reprising our earlier scene from the Keystone Cops, last seen in Catania, we all fly out of the changing rooms to the exit at the other end of the pitch. Oh, Dio mio. Yes, you've guessed it. The gate is locked. Oh, merda. Cosa faremo ora? Oh, shit, what are we going to do now? Is the question on everyone's lips. This is a classic case of muck or nettles, mutters Ian. There's only one choice, and we head back to the changing room to try and get someone to call the carabinieri to extricate us. In the match programme, the pitch was described as being within a stone's throw of the town centre. It now seems that the local inhabitants, particularly those in the car park, are taking advantage of that fact. Trapped in the middle of the pitch, we are now receiving broadside after broadside of stones and rocks, the heaviest ones reaching us after one bounce. Scary stuff indeed. There is only one solution. The testudo. With a respectful tip of the hat to their ancestors, the players instinctively revert to ancient Roman military tactics. Using their kit bags, they form the testudo, or tortoise formation. This was a wall of interlocking shields, resembling the impenetrable shell of a tortoise, a formation commonly used by the Roman legions during battles and sieges. As we shelter in centre field, behind the kit bag version of the tortoise, and with rocks bouncing off our bags and stones whistling by us, and with a tip of the hat to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, I hear a sardonic whisper from that certain person next to me. "That's another fine mess you've got us into." Whilst reasoning that our kit bags had yet again become more important than our handmade blazers, a distant groundsman signals that the gate is now open. Rather than being overrun by the vandals masquerading today as the masked ranks of the Frascatani, our modern-day Roman centurions take the logical decision and leg it to the train station. Despite being chased by the marauding hordes of the Castelli, we enter the relative security of the station. Sicilian experience in hand, the boys are now displaying their ever-improving proficiency in barrier vaulting. We impose an extra layer of technical difficulty by diving, with a very high tariff, straight into the waiting train. Arrivederci, Frascati! It is said that Pope Gregory I was walking through the marketplace in Rome in the early 600s AD, when he saw some slave boys with striking looks and fair hair. "Where are they from?" he asked. "They are called Angles, from Anglo-Saxon Britain," he was told. The pontiff replied, looking at the boys again, "They're not Angles, but angels. Non-Angli, sed Angeli. And like angels, they should sing praises to God. Following on from this, according to the Venerable Bede, the evangelization of Britain was proposed by a pope with a pun. Far be it from me to compare Ian and myself to a couple of good-looking slave boys, but we are both Lancastrians of Anglo-Saxon heritage. Well, more or less. And very proud of the fact we are too. We were soon joined by another Lancastrian, the brilliantly talented Brian Ashton, who later became a successful coach with Milan and ultimately England. We were all growing in confidence with our burgeoning familiarity with both the language and the culture of Italy. There was also our growing irritation at continually being asked the question, "Whereabouts in London do you come from?" "No, not London, we're northerners from Il Paese della Pioggia, the land of never-ending rain." So eventually we threw back at them, "Siamo Lancastro Romani. Ce ne sono pochi, ma tutti bravi." Loosely translated as, "We are Lancastro Romans. There aren't many of us, but we're all good uns." Presumptuous we may be, but in that simple linguistic rendition of Lancastro Romani is encompassed history, the arrival of Christianity in England, our cultural affinity with our newfound home, and our massive personal pride in the reverse conquest of Rome by a couple of rugby missionaries from Lancashire.
Italia 77 was devised, written and introduced by me, Ian McAllister, and read by Richard Greenwood, who also contributed to the writing. It was recorded and produced by Tom Allam and Nigel Heath at La Cucina Studios, London, and edited by Stu Smith, Nigel Heath, and Jamie Allen. If you've enjoyed the show, please hit the like button, subscribe, and consider leaving a review. Italia 77 is a Zacuti production.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.